So welcome. It's good to see you all. Now, before we begin, and we are going to make us a prompt start, because we those of us who are doing the discussion groups need to disappear at about 25 past. I'm going to read some of the verses from Philippians that both groups, whether you stay in here or go come out for discussion, will be thinking about today. And I think they are central to what we'll be thinking about today, but they're also central to Paul's experience at the time. So he says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." And these are the crunch. Here, listen to this. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, that is incredible, that Paul had reached a stage where actually, in one sense, he didn't care whether he lived or he died, because both were going to be, you know, good. He knew that to live, he would be able to minister more to the Christians around who needed it and the churches that he wrote to. But to die, he knew he would be instantly with Jesus. And I just wonder, I suppose it's a challenge, isn't it, whether we are anywhere near that. I know I'm not. I hold on to this life far too dearly. But that will be at the center of what we're going to be thinking about. And please, if you are in any doubt about what goes on next door, you know, we're not doing anything weird and wonderful. All we are doing is discussing what the guys who stay in here are thinking about. It's just a different way of engaging with the text. So it's exactly the same material. In fact, if I tell you the truth, it's probably more exciting out there. Because we have a video to watch at the beginning. Hey, get me. Anyway, we're going to start then by thinking about this idea of not being ashamed. And we're going to sing, after I've prayed, the words of "To you, O Lord," because the chorus goes, "All who put their trust in God will never be put to shame." It's not quite those words, but you get the idea. So we can trust in God and we will never be put to shame. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for welcoming us into your presence this morning, and we ask you to teach us, Lord, and give us teachable hearts and minds as well as we come to your presence this morning. Amen. So let's stand and sing "To You, O Lord."
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. That's why my eyes are on you, Lord. Surround me, defend me, oh how I need you. To I lift up my soul, to you I lift up my soul. Show me your ways and teach me your paths, guide me in truth. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. That's why my my soul. Remember, Lord, your mercy and love that ever flow from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, all my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. According to your love, for you are good. That's why my eyes are on you, oh Lord. Surround me, defend me, oh how I need you. To you I lift up my soul, to you I lift up my soul. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. That's why my eyes are on you. Surround me, defend me, oh how I need you. To you I lift up my soul, to you I lift up my soul.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Now, a bit of a test for you. I wonder if you can spot why I've chosen this one this morning. I mean, partly because I love it. It is a great song, full of truth. But
by the power of love, hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side. Hold
Down. Can anybody tell me why I've chosen it? Steve, you ought to be able to. Our verse of the year, of course, this year is those who wait or put their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be faint. Amen. Fantastic. Fantastic words. Let's just now have church life, please, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. I should be on, I hope. Right. If you haven't got a verse for the year, there's still a few down on the front row. So please come and take one after the service. Stick it on your fridge or in your Bible if you use a physical Bible to read every day. Just to remind you on a daily basis about the promise that we have when we have our hope in the Lord. Okay, so they're down on the front row if you'd like one. Pat's got a notice she's going to come and bring to us. Thank you, Pat.
Hi. I am a guide leader. Many of you probably know that. And just before Christmas, we had a flood in our normal hall, and Steve was kind enough to let us come here. While we were here, we were doing a topic on food poverty and food bank. And we had to put, the lady visited us from Food Bank the night we were here because we'd got it in the diary. And we've got this display that we needed to put somewhere and start a food bank collection. I thought this church still did it and then realised they didn't. So I have asked the leadership and they're happy for me to reinstate it. So we're going to talk to all of the organisations that use these buildings as well, so that it's not just us, because we know that a lot of us, you know, put it in the supermarket trolley and put it in the box at the end. But there are a lot of people that don't. So I'm going to put up some displays when I leave today of the thing, the posters and stuff that the guides did with the box, and I will empty it regularly. So I might give you a little gentle reminder the week before I'm going to empty it, which will probably be about once a month. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat. So that's a good way that we can all help those in our community. When I go down to the school down at the end of our road here and talk to them, it's interesting how many of their families use the food bank. So it's a very local need that we can help address by showing a little bit of God's love into buying an extra carton of milk, whatever it is, and putting it into the food banks. That'd be great. Now, as you know, unless you've not been here for the last 3 weeks, we're doing a series called Discipleship Explored. If you haven't picked up a book, I have a few of them still on the front row, so please take one away with you. If you'd like to give us a contribution towards the cost of them, that'd be great. Don't let that stop you if you haven't got any cash with you, or you can always bring it next week. The idea being that you either go, as Adam was saying, into the really exciting bit in the hall, or you stay in here for a really boring sermon with me. So everybody go that way, and I can sit and have a coffee. That would be great. No. So there's two choices. So if you want to discuss and watch a little video and then discuss some of what's been going on the video and some of the questions that are in here, please feel free to go into the hall. If you don't want to do that, if you think that's the last thing I'd ever want to do, then you can stay in here, and I will be sort of talking about the same passage that they're looking at next door. Content might be slightly different, okay? So, but please take a book. The idea is that in the week, there's a short Bible reading and a question or two each day for you to look at. And then if you've got any questions about it, come along, go to the discussion group. If you really can't do that, you can talk to me afterwards, or you can WhatsApp me a question or email me a question, and I'll try and sort that out in the week. Okay, so there's two choices. You have to make up your mind. all right? I know how indecisive we can be at times, but make up your mind, please. Right. Dates for your diaries. Friday the 5th of February, 6:30, is our next Ignite session for our young people. So make sure you got that in your diary. I'm not quite sure what will be going on, but as per usual, it'll be good fun. And there's probably some food involved, so get yourselves down here, 6:30 in the evening. Yesterday morning, we had our prayer meeting at 9:30. The 12 of us met yesterday, which is great. We had a good time praying for an hour or so. The next one of those is on the 21st of February at 9:30, here again in the lounge, 21st of February. And then for anybody who's involved with our children or our young people, if you're leading or helping, we have safeguarding training going on the 14th of March. So for most of you, that's level 2 training, which is from 9 in the morning till 12. If you're one of the leaders, you should know this already, you'll have to do level 3 training, which means it's 1:30 in the afternoon till 4:30 as well. So it'll be a whole day here, okay? So that'll be in the church all day if you need level 2 and level 3. For most people, that's only level 2 that you'll be needing. So just the morning till 12 o'clock. Okay, right. The fun bit. Do we have any birthdays this week? A birthday? Your birthday?
Yes, mine.
Fantastic. Very good. Okay, 28th. Right, brilliant. One birthday. Adam? Another one. It's Hannah's birthday. Well, you didn't put your hand up. When's Hannah's birthday? Today? Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. That's even better than 20. Sorry. Even better than that one. Fantastic. Right, okay, let's sing Happy Birthday then. What's her name? Sorry, Bosse. So it's Hannah, whose birthday is today, and Bosse, whose birthday is on the 28th, which is 3 days' time. Fantastic. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hannah and Bosse. Happy birthday to you.
Great stuff. Now we're going to take up our morning offering. Thank you.
Dancing, guys. Thank you. If you'd like to stand as we give thanks to God for his generosity to us, let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you that as we come to worship you this morning, we're able to give of our hearts, but also the money that you first give to us. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us as we seek to bless you by giving these gifts. Lord, we thank you for all that you do in our lives, and for, Lord, how we're able to reflect your love in our lives, in the way that we behave to those around us, and all that you are to us. So, Lord, thank you again for your gifts to us that we are able to give back to you as part of our act of worship. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
So, I have to say, quite happy when we chose that verse from Isaiah about mounting up on wings like eagles as our verse of the year, because it's always meant a lot to me. A few years ago, I released an album of my own songs, which are based around my favourite verses from the Bible, and that was one of them. So I hope you don't mind, I'm going to sing it to you. It's a bit of an experiment, because I am playing and singing against myself. So, If I lose timing, that's why, because one part of me is not keeping up with the other. Okay, thanks, guys. That video. Matt? Don't you know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth, creator of the ends of the earth. Even youths grow tired and weary, young men, they may stumble and fall, but those who place their hope in the Lord will renew their strength, they will rise, they will soar, they will soar on eagle's wings, they will run. They will know the strength He brings. They will soar, they will soar on eagle's wings. They will soar on eagle's wings. They will run and not grow faint. They will know. They will soar, they will soar on eagle's wings. He gives strength to weary souls, to those who are tired and weak. For He will not grow weary nor sleep. The Lord will not grow weary or sleep. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men, they may stumble and fall. But those who place their hope in the Lord will renew their strength, they will rise, they will soar, they will soar on eagle's wings, they will run and not grow faint, they will know. They will soar, they will soar on eagle's wings. They will soar on eagle's wings. They will run and not grow faint. They will know the strength He brings. They will soar. They will soar on eagle's wings. They will soar, they will soar on eagle's wings. Thanks, Brenda. Oh, thank you, you're too kind. But as I just love the words, I think they're wonderful. I think they're wonderful. Right, we're going to sing a song which may be new to many of you. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually sing, I think, the first verse twice, and then we will go back to the beginning. So Josh, first verse twice. And I know the second verse is very much like the first verse, but we'll do the first verse twice. So we will sing it. Obviously, if you know it already, then do join in. But we will sing the first verse twice. Now, this one, whilst it's not lifted from Philippians, I think they are Paul's words, and they could very easily be applied to what he was going to. And it was actually Jane Parks who reminded me of this song this week, because her daughter Ruth had shared it as part of her testimony. So I hope you don't mind me using it, Jane, but it's wonderful. Though trials will come, don't fear, don't run. Lift up your eyes, hold fast, be strong, have faith, keep on believing. Lift up your eyes, for God is at work in us, molding and shaping us out of his love for us, making us more like Jesus. Consider it joy, pure joy, when troubles come, many trials will make you strong. Consider it joy, pure joy, and stand your ground, then at last you'll wear a crown. First one again together. Though trials will come, don't fear, don't run. Lift up your eyes, hold fast, be strong, have faith, keep on believing. Lift up your eyes, for God is at work in us, molding and shaping us out of his love for us, making us more like Jesus. Consider it joy, pure joy, when troubles come, many trials will make. Consider it joy, pure joy, and stand your ground, then at last you'll wear a crown. Though trials will come, won't fear, won't run, we'll lift up our eyes, hold fast, be strong, have faith, keep on believing. We'll lift up your eyes, for God is at work in us, molding and shaping us out of his love for us, making us more like Jesus. Consider it joy, pure joy, when troubles many trials will make you strong. Consider it joy, pure joy, and stand your ground, then at last you'll wear a crown. Patiently trusting him, ready for anything, till we're complete in him, in everything more. Joy, pure joy, when troubles come, many trials will make you strong. Consider it joy, pure joy, and stand your ground, then at last you'll wear a crown. Then at last you'll wear. Well, thanks for allowing me to lead you in worship today, and If you are joining me next door, we will now leave. Thanks. Over to you, Steve. Hey.
And Pusher joining.
Pusher coming with us, and the children are going to go out to their groups as well. So it's going to be a huge tidal wave leaving.
Does anybody need a book? If so, come down and grab one. We'll just wait till several people disappear. If you want to change your mind and go now, that's fine. It's not a problem. I've got two books left down here, so if you want the last ones, come and get them. If I need to get some more, I'll buy some more in this week. That's fine. Oh, three. There you go. Perfect time. Perfect. That was great. Good stuff. Okay. Let's pray, shall we, before we dive into the next session on Discipleship Explored. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that your Spirit is present with us as we've been worshiping you. And Lord, I pray that you would just make us receptive to what you have to say to us today. Lord, that we might understand more of you and more of what your calling is to each one of us as we seek to follow you as your disciples, we pray. So, Lord, bless our time now as we dive into your word together. Amen. So, we're continuing on in our series in Philippians, using that letter from Paul to the church in Philippi as the basis of the Discipleship Explored course that we're also looking at. Now, if you haven't been for the last couple of weeks and you've missed out on the start of this, it's not too late to catch up. If you get hold of one of the books, if you haven't got one and there aren't any left, I think I've got one in my rucksack left if you need one more, then please come and get it from me. But I can order more books in, so they'll be here for next Sunday. The idea behind it is that each week we look at a different part of what Paul is saying to the church in Philippi. And we're gaining from that something about what we can do as disciples as we're seeking to follow God through our lives. So as I said earlier on, if you want to ask questions about things that you've been reading in the week or what I spoke about last Sunday, the ideal opportunity is in the discussion groups next door. If you don't want to do that, come and speak to me after the service. If you don't even want to speak to me, you can WhatsApp me in the week or message me or email me, and I'll try and get around to answering your questions that you have. But it's an opportunity for us to stop, to think a bit, to reflect, and maybe to act on something that God is trying to say to us through this series. So let's move on to our reading for this morning. And this is Philippians 1, 12 to 26, which I'll read to us. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or truth, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I'll be in no way ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. It's quite a passage that Paul's writing there. And as you read it and you think about it and look through it, there's a lot that we can pick out. But you have to read it and think about, why is Paul writing this passage? If you use the analogy of a game of Monopoly, you know it when you play Monopoly. I'm sure some of you remember playing it as a child or whatever. And you get to the point where you land on the go directly to jail bit, and everybody tries to avoid that. But unfortunately, you roll the dice and you land on the go to jail square on the board. And you have to go directly to jail. And there you are in jail, not just visiting, you're stuck in there for three turns. You can't do anything. Anything else that happens on the board is ineffective to you. It doesn't matter to you what's going on. You're stuck in jail until you can roll a double six or whatever it was, or you get out after your turns. And Paul's like the player in our Monopoly game. He's been traveling around, visiting different cities, different towns, setting up churches, people have converted, been baptized. New churches have been growing. He's been encouraging them. He's been helping them to grow and get stronger. And then all of a sudden, he's taken away and he's locked up. And Paul's put into prison. He can't carry on with the plans that he had for his missionary trips. He didn't want to be stuck in Rome. He wanted to keep on going. There are a lot more places where he could go, a lot more people to talk to. And you might think that God's actually pressed the pause button for Paul, like if he was stuck in jail in the Monopoly game. He can't do anything. But in actual fact, it's completely the opposite. Paul writes in verse 12, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." Instead of complaining, Paul sees his imprisonment in Rome as a challenge and an opportunity. The challenge is, yes, I can't get up and go around and do what I normally do, but the opportunity is I've got guards who can't actually leave me alone. Now, as I said last week, these poor guys probably couldn't get away from Paul fast enough at the end of their shift, because all he's doing is telling them about the gospel. And I'm quite sure that many of them came to faith as a result of what Paul was saying. But Paul is using his energy to write to the churches, and he writes to the church in Philippi, and he's saying to them, look, just because something bad has happened physically to me, or in worldly terms as I'm locked up, it's not stopping God. God is still at work, and God is working out his will. May not be my will, but it's his will in my life by locking me up. So I have time to write to you. I have time to encourage you. I have time to tell you, look, whatever happens, God is in charge of what is going on. Paul's imprisonment actually leads to more opportunities because he has time to write. He's not out preaching all the time. He has time to sit down and write the letters. Am I boomy a bit, Matt? Thanks. Thank you. It might just be the fallback. I don't know. So Paul writes, and we read in the passage, that virtually the entire palace guard have now come to faith. And I think I sort of talked about a couple of weeks ago the Philippian jailer and how he and his family come to faith because Paul's not run off from the prison when that earthquake comes. Paul and Silas are there and they don't run away. And because of their faith in God, the jailer and his family see what God's love can do. And they all come to faith in him. Now I wonder, and I'm sure it's true, that when Paul's in prison, his faith in God shines out to those around him. And they can see what's so different about him is his love for Jesus. And as they see that, so it rubs off on them. As it rubs off on them, so they come to faith and they change their attitude towards Christianity and to faith. Whatever the circumstances Paul finds himself in, God is able to use it for his
glory. The most recent report from the organisation Open Doors says that Christians worldwide are facing more persecution than at any time in the last modern era. At a conservative estimate, the number of people currently facing persecution for being a Christian is about 215 million people. If you consider that's probably almost four times the population of the UK as an entirety, that are facing persecution because of their faith in God. The author, C.S. Lewis, says, "Don't let your happiness depend on something you may lose. Don't let your happiness depend on something you may lose." What does your happiness depend on? Does it depend on comfort, on money, on family, on work? They're all fragile things that we can lose. They're not necessarily bad things, but if that's what we're depending on in our lives, then we're missing out on what Paul is trying to say to the church in Philippi. Paul has lost everything. He's lost everything. He's in prison. But his joy is because he's living for something that can't be taken away from him. And if you talk to people who come from countries where they're being oppressed and opposed because of their faith in God, they will say their joy isn't because they're having a hard time, isn't because they're being locked up, isn't because they're being thrown out of work, isn't because they've been split up from their families and taken to other places in the country to be taken away from their friends and their family. It's because their joy is in the Lord. And that's what Paul is saying here. No matter what, my focus is on Jesus. And that's great to be able to stand up here and say to you all, isn't it amazing? It's really hard when the rubber hits the road, when things are difficult, to have that faith. And Paul understands that as well. And as you read through his passage, you see that. He has questions for himself. What's the best thing for me to do? Is it better for me to be here? Is it better for me to go to be with Jesus? In his own heart, he's not sure. He asked that the people in Philippi would pray that he has the strength to be able to endure whatever is going to come. And we know that Paul was put to death for being a Christian. Did he have the strength to endure what was to come? God gave him the strength. He didn't have the strength. God gave him the strength to endure what was to come. Paul's talking about, it's really interesting actually when you read it, he talks about in verse 18, he says, "What does it matter?" Talking about the people who are preaching the gospel, some of them out of envy or upset because Paul's the one who's getting all the praise for what he's doing. And Paul says, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Paul is absolutely certain that God will use even his sufferings to prepare him to be ready for the day of Jesus. If we're in Christ Jesus, whatever's happened in our lives will turn out for our deliverance and our maturity and our faith. You might look back on your life and say, well, I was really bad when I was younger. But God can use those experiences, no matter how bad they were, for his glory. And he can use what we've learned through our lives, good things and bad things, to actually build us up in our faith. And don't forget that Paul, when he was known as Saul, was pretty bad. He went around imprisoning and killing Christians because he didn't like them. And God transforms him into Paul, the apostle that we know, who writes and encourages so many people around the world. Paul isn't being fatalistic when he's looking at his suffering. He's not being boastful about it, saying, how good am I because I'm suffering for the gospel. He's just saying, as a matter of fact, this is something that's happening. It's something that happens to a lot of people in our world today. Something we could pray for on a regular basis is for those Christians to find a way of relief, for governments to change their attitude towards people of faith in Jesus. Paul goes into great detail in 2 Corinthians 11 about the suffering that he's had because of his faith in Jesus, the fact that he's been stoned, been beaten with sticks, how he was abandoned in extreme hot cold without food, how he received the 40 lashes minus one 5 times. And that's not a light beating. That's being whipped 39 times. And he's had it done 5 times over his life. The Bible is real. As God entered our world that he creates, he sees mankind for all it is, and he weeps for the suffering and the death. And then he sends his son to suffer and die on the cross for us. The Bible takes suffering very seriously. And that's what makes this passage even more powerful. The Bible takes suffering seriously. It encourages us to know that real suffering, the real suffering we might have to endure some of, will ultimately turn out to be our deliverance. The suffering is real, but it's never wasted. It's never wasted because although inwardly it might hurt us and we might suffer because of it, we are being renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit in us day by day. If we go back to our Monopoly analogy, the rules of the game have been changed. Every move that your opponent makes gets you more blessing. Everything that, when you're stuck in prison, that your opponents try and win ends up costing them, not you. Because that's what happens in God's kingdom. When we belong to him, we're faithful to him, no matter what happens to us, the enemy can't beat us. He can try, but he can't beat us because he doesn't have the power over Jesus. Jesus has the power over him. And if we belong to Jesus, then we are part of that. And that's so important to remind ourselves when we're going through times that are difficult. When you're thinking, I can't go on with this, it's an absolute nightmare. God, what are you doing? God says, I'm here. You might have to learn something, but I'm here to teach you that and to be there with you. If we're in Jesus, then no matter what's happened in our life, no matter how painful, embarrassing, degrading you might feel it is, the experiences that you've been through will turn out to build us and to deliver us to a closer relationship with Jesus. Verse 20, Paul says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will be in no way ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. He eagerly expects. He's leaning on God for his strength. He can't do it in his own strength. The word that eagerly expects translates from straining towards. So he's not hoping to get towards suffering, but he's hoping that as he eagerly expects, God will give him the courage. It's also used to strain or lean into. So if you've got somebody who's walking into a very strong wind, you almost lean into the wind a bit. And the wind, you think the wind's going to hold you up. Now, of course, if the wind drops suddenly and you're leaning into it, you might fall over. But that idea of leaning into the faith that God gives us to be able to take on from him whatever we need when things get really rough. And for Paul, that ended up in death. That ended up in death. If you're suffering today, and I don't know all your individual circumstances, if you're suffering today, then Jesus is working in you and with you. And can I assure you that if you turn to him, he will be exalted in you, no matter what suffering you're going through. The assurance of this can provide us with some dignity when we're going through that suffering. Some of you are really struggling at the moment, whether it's health-wise or relationship-wise or financially or anything else. If you're struggling at the moment, Jesus can still be exalted in us in the midst of the struggles because we have faith in him. And we're told time and again that we don't need faith that's big as a mountain. We need faith as small as a mustard seed. And if you find a mustard seed in a packet of seeds back at home, you'll see how small it really is. And do we have that little tiny bit of faith that when times are difficult, we can trust in Jesus? Paul says, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Whatever happens, Jesus will complete his work, is what Paul is trying to say. In verse 21, Paul shows his complete assurance of this when he says the famous verse, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." His words emphasize that he's bound up with Jesus. And if we're living in Christ, for Christ, by Christ, through Christ, it's all gain. Even death. Paul regards death as gain because he goes to be with Jesus. And for any of us, you might think, well, actually, I don't really want to die yet. I've got lots more I could do here. And Paul says that as well. But death shouldn't be something that's scary for us. It shouldn't be something we're frightened of, because the end game of that is we go to be with Jesus. So Paul's faced with that difficult decision. What does he do? If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me, yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I am torn between the two. He's asking a question. It's a rhetorical one, because obviously he can't get an answer back from the people in Philippi. But he's saying to them, I've got this struggle going on between me as a person. Of course I don't want to die. But I know if I do, I'm going to be with Jesus, which is the most amazing thing. But if I stay here, then I've got things to do still. I've got to write more letters. I've got to talk to more of the guards. I've got to talk to other people I can get into contact with, because I know that God hasn't finished doing his job through me yet. And I wonder whether we think in those terms ourselves. Do we think in terms of God is saying to us today, right, here's a choice for you. Come and be with me, or stay here and do the job I've called you to do. But there's no middle ground here. There's no, well, I don't want to go and be with you, but I don't want to do what you've called me to do. There's no, I can do the middle line and not do either. Because that's not an option. That's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to be here on this earth for as long as we are here. His timing is perfect. You might not think it, but his timing is always perfect. But while he's called us to be here, he's called us to do a job. Not to be secretive about our faith. Not to be a people who scurry into church on a Sunday morning hoping nobody else sees us and then go home again and forget about it till next Sunday. But to be a people who have confidence in Jesus to reach out and to touch those around us. Paul answers his own question. He says, convinced of this, I know that I'll remain and I'll continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. You might think that Paul's being really arrogant here. It's all about me. You're going to be boasting about Jesus because of what I've done for you. That's not Paul at all. He's not saying that at all. What he's saying is, look, if I can help you, and by writing this letter, he's helping the church, he's giving them teaching, he's listening to what God is saying, his boasting is just in Jesus. It's all about what Jesus has done for him. And he's trying to get that to the church in Philippi for them to understand. He's trying to get that to LSR Church here in Coventry this morning so that we can understand that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. If we're in Jesus, whatever's happened in our lives will turn out for our ultimate good through him. And Jesus will continue to work for our deliverance. He will continue to keep on building us up. In verse 22, Paul says, if I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Age isn't a barrier. Our circumstances aren't a barrier. Doesn't matter whether we're unable to get out very much or not. There's fruitful labor for all of us in Jesus' kingdom. If you're stuck at home and you can't get out, how much of your day do you spend praying for those who are able to get out? For the persecuted church? For people to come and know Jesus? Do you phone people up if you're on WhatsApp or email? Do you send an encouraging word to people? Do we use our time to make a fruitful labor for Jesus? Paul's life was defined by service. First of all, it was service to the Jewish temple, and then after his conversion, it's service to Jesus. Everything he does is to further that end. In verse 19, Paul says, For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Paul's emphasizing here the combination of their prayers, praying for him as a believer, that his sufferings in prison would actually result in his deliverance. Now, humanly speaking, it did, because he was taken from prison eventually and he was executed. So it ended in his deliverance from this earth. But actually, because of the prayers of the people in Philippi and other churches he wrote to while he was locked up in prison, Paul is able to continue preaching his gospel. He's able to continue building up the young churches. So as they're praying, as they're being faithful, so it works out in Paul's life. He gets longer time than maybe he would have had otherwise to write more. Paul's able to continue laboring in fruitfulness to them because of their prayers and their faithfulness in him. It comes full circle, doesn't it? It's how the church works. It's always better for us to remain and labor for each other's fruitfulness, isn't it, as a church? It's why coming to church and being part of church is so important, because we can build each other up. We can pray for each other. If we're honest with each other and open with each other and we share things that are going on in our lives together, we can pray and we can build each other up. And just as Paul is given the strength to carry on, so we can be given the strength to carry on as well. No one is surplus to requirements in God's kingdom. No one is unimportant. Each person here has a fruitful labor. If you don't know what it is, maybe it's time to spend some time with God listening to what he's saying to you. If you do know what it is, then what's stopping us from doing that? It's a real joy to have a conversation with somebody which leaves you praising Jesus because what they've done and what God's been doing in their lives. It's great. It's a great part of being a church pastor to hear what God is doing in somebody's life and to be able to rejoice because of that. It would be wonderful to have a church like the one described in verse 26. Boasting in Christ Jesus will abound. Boasting in Jesus will get bigger and bigger and more because of what he's doing as we're open to him working in our lives. To be known as a church who magnify the Lord Jesus, where believers might say, I love the Lord more because of these people in this church who are praying for me and encouraging me and teaching me and walking alongside me. And as a church, that's something for us to aspire to. As a church, it's something for us that we should be wanting to boast more in Jesus for all that he is doing in us and through us. So as you reflect on the message this morning, consider these points. If you're in Jesus, whatever has happened in your life will turn out for your deliverance. He will complete what he has started. If you're in Jesus, then living in the body means fruitful labor. For us to live is Christ. Despite the limitations, whatever circumstances have set on us, we can, like Paul and the Philippian church, pray for each other, that our present sufferings will turn out for our deliverance. We can ask, what can I do today that will help others progress their faith and increase their joy in Jesus? It's more important that we're here, and we're following what Jesus wants us to do, than we're going to depart to be with Jesus. Being fruitful in our lives, living our lives for Christians as Christians, encourages each other and builds each other up. If we're not, if we're all hiding, sitting in our houses, scared to go out and talk to anybody, scared to even pray, then we're not going to be fruitful. If we're not fruitful, we're not building up the kingdom. And if we're not building up the kingdom, then we're not doing what we're called to do. Paul gave his life for Jesus. As he died, I'm sure it hurt. I'm sure there was pain there. I'm sure there was fear there for not knowing what's going to happen next. But he had that security of the promise that he would be with Jesus. We have that promise as well. So long as we are in him, then we will be with him. But in the meantime, we have some work to do for him. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the challenges that Paul sets before us. Lord, for the way that he lived his life for you, we give you praise and thanks. And Lord, we thank you that for each one of us, the challenges that we have, the things that maybe have gone on in our lives in the past, are there to help us to come to you, are there to help us to live for you, and Lord, to bring us to that true deliverance that comes when we know you. Lord, I pray that for each one of us today and going into this week, we would know your presence with us. That, Lord, you would encourage each one of us, that we can pray for each other, that we can pray for our faith to be strengthened, and, Lord, that we could increase our joy in you. Lord, we want to be fruitful. We want to be a people who come week in, week out, who see new people coming to know and love you. A people who come week in, week out, who see people growing in their love for you. And Lord, that we would see that in ourselves as well, as others lift us up and pray for us too. Thank you, Lord, that you put us in a place where we can be a fellowship together, a people who know and love you, and want to know and love you more. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless us as we seek to do that. Keep us faithful to your word, and keep us faithful in our service for you, we pray. Amen. Amen. We will have a moment or two, and then I think tea and coffee will be ready. The guys in the discussion group will come and join us when they're finished. Thank you.
Though trials will come, don't fear, don't run. Lift up your eyes, hold fast, be strong.